Lord, may be pleased to help me again this afternoon. I would direct you to Genesis chapter 42 and the last clause of verse 36. Genesis chapter 42, the last clause of verse 36. All these things are against me. Genesis 42 and the last part of verse 36. All these things are against me. Those of you that were here this morning know we tried to speak a few things from these words this morning. We just briefly noticed, first of all, that the Lord's children are solemnly aware often that they feel that things are against them. There are so many trials and tribulations that come upon the children of God. And as they consider it at times and look at their pathway and their evidences and consider the darkness of the path often, and the fact that often God hides his face, and that things are going contrary, and many things seem to be going wrong, and we cry out sometimes with, dear old Jacob, all these things are against me. Jacob had to walk in some hard paths. We said this morning that Jacob had an idol, and it had to be taken from him. Friends, let us beware of having an idol, because God will take it away. He'll deal with it. He will have all our hearts, not a divided heart. That's why he took Joseph away from Jacob, because Joseph was Jacob's idol. You say, well, there's nothing wrong in the father, the parent, loving his son. No, nothing wrong in loving him. He mustn't worship him. He mustn't put him before everything else. God must be first. And so Jacob had to walk in some very trying pathways for 13 years. His idol was taken away for 13 years. He had no idea that Joseph was alive. He thought he was dead. You remember Joseph's brethren took his coat of many colours off of him. They slew an animal and they dipped his coat in the blood and they returned it to their father Jacob. Is this thy son's coat or no? Well, of course, he knew it was his son's coat. He had made the coat of many colours. He said, without doubt, my son is dead, rent in pieces. But he wasn't, was he? You see, friends, how active the enemy is. And the enemy doesn't mind who he uses. He doesn't mind whether it's the world or the children or the people of God or even our own brothers or sisters or anyone. He'll use anyone to bring us low, to deceive us, to sink us down into the depths. to make us think hard things about God. You see, Jacob, he said, all these things are against me. He was a child of God. How could they be against him? Against his flesh, yes. His flesh didn't like it. But his God wasn't against him. His God loved him. His God was teaching him. He was leading him in his paths. He was correcting him. He was preparing him for God's will. And so Joseph, we mentioned this morning also, he had to be led forth in God's pathway. God had appointed that he should be raised up to be a ruler, a governor in the land of Egypt. He was to have great power and authority. And it didn't look much like coming about, did it, over those 13 years prior to being made ruler? That was God's way. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And so it was with Joseph. He was falsely accused. He was condemned. He was condemned as guilty. Falsely accused. He wasn't guilty. But he was condemned. And he was cast into prison. But friends, how the Lord went before him. The Lord prospered him. The Lord used him to interpretate the dreams that the butler and the baker dreamt. And in due course, this was the means in the Lord's hands to bring him deliverance. Because the king dreamed also in due course. And then it was brought to his notice that this Joseph, the Hebrew, was in the prison, and he was an interpreter of dreams, and he was sent for. And so, friends, he was given the interpretation of the king's dream, and he gave his God the honour. Said that God was the interpreter of dreams. But God revealed it to Joseph, and this was the means that brought him out of the prison house to the second governor, ruler in the land of Egypt. Oh, the mysteries of it. But he felt these things were against him. Joseph did. He couldn't understand it. The word of the Lord tried him over those years. And friends, no doubt there are those of you here that are walking in strange, mysterious pathways. Pathways you have not walked in before. Hard paths. Painful paths, paths that you wouldn't walk in if you could have possibly avoided it. But you have no choice. You're in that pathway. You can't escape it. And everything seems to be against you. Condemnation. And perhaps you've uttered these words, perhaps many times. All these things are against me. How can God be in it? He doesn't deliver me. He doesn't help me. I cry upon him. I beseech of him to appear to make the crooked things straight, to deliver, to cast out, and many, many things. But still it grinds on. And the poor soul says, all these things are against me. But friend, I believe if you're a child of God, that you'll prove they're not all against you. You'll prove in due time that they are working together for good. We said this morning that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now don't cut yourself off immediately and say, well, I've got no love for God, so it won't work together for my good. Why haven't you got any love for God? Why, you say, it's because of the trial and the trouble and the pain that I'm going through at the moment. I'm hard and rebellious against God. I wouldn't be surprised if you are. Many of the Lord's children have been there. But friends, that's not to say you've never loved God. Can you go back? Has there been a spot and a place where you have loved him, where he has appeared for you, where he has blessed you, where he has delivered you? Your heart has gone out to him. You've loved him. All things work together for good to them that love God. I don't believe that you have got to. It's not possible to always love God. Not on the, in this time state. We're carnally minded. And left to ourselves, we mind the things of time. We're dependent upon the Lord and the Blessed Spirit to keep our souls alive. We're dependent upon the Lord to draw us after himself. And so, friends, I believe that if you have loved God, you'll prove that this deep trial, this trouble, this tribulation, it will work together for good. You perhaps cannot see how it can possibly end right. How there can possibly be any deliverance? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Anything? But you say it's everything, and the evidence, it's all pointed to condemnation. Friends, the Lord is able to deliver out of the hands of the devil. Ah, you say, but it's my guilt, it's my sin, I am guilty, I am condemned. Is there no hope then? Friend, the Lord came to seek and save that which was lost. Jonah was guilty of denying his God. He sinned against his God, and he had to go into the belly of hell, in the fish's belly. But he found deliverance. The Lord delivered him. It wasn't the end of the world. It wasn't despair. It came very close. But the Lord brought him out. Then there are others. There's Paul and Silas. They wasn't guilty of a particular offence, but they were cast into prison. They were beaten, cast into prison. They had to go in there that the jailer might be delivered and blessed. And the Lord brought them out. But they had to go in. There was a purpose. They had a job to do. They had a message to deliver. from God. And when that was done, then they were delivered. They were brought out. They were released. And dear friends, I believe you and I will come, we will be led, we will be brought into various pathways which are hard. And it's there that we will have things to deliver, things to learn. And when we've learnt them, we should be delivered. We should be set free. Darkness will be made light. You know, sometimes we have to come into various pathways that we might be humbled. That's why Jonah had to go into the belly of hell, in that fish's belly. It was to humble him. And when he was humbled, then he was brought out. Oh, the mercy of God. And so, friends, though we, like Jacob, sometimes we say all these things are against us, yet, friends, I believe we shall prove, as dear Jacob did, they wasn't against. They wasn't against him. It was God's way of dealing with Jacob. Jacob was brought to that blessed day where he saw his son Joseph. He saw him with his own eyes and he heard his voice. And I believe it was a very different Joseph to what he knew. He was now a grown, mature man. He'd been through many things. Oh, friends, are you saying that all these things are against me? I don't doubt that it looks as if they are. You can't see any light sometimes, whatever. And it may go on, and you may think, well, will I ever be delivered? Friends, Paul had to have a thorn in the flesh. He wanted deliverance from that. But he never found it until his dying day. Then it was gone forever. But he had to live the rest of his life with that thorn in the flesh. Now, friends, you and I may have a thorn in the flesh. We may have a trouble, a burden. It may not be God's will to remove it all the days of our life. Now, I don't want to discourage anybody, but the will of the Lord will be done, whatever it is. I have a thorn in the flesh. It's been there now for many years, and I can't really see it ever being removed, but the Lord knows. But I believe at times it will be sanctified to us, and I believe it will be made profitable to us. It will be the means in the Lord's hand often to humble us, to keep us from pride and self-righteousness. Ah, friends, the Lord knows how to deal with his children. He knows how to bring them to his footstool. But the flesh doesn't like it. It rebels. All these things are against me. They're all against. They was all against Jacob's flesh. He didn't want to walk in that pathway. He didn't want to suffer those things. He didn't want to lose his Joseph. He didn't want to lose Simeon. The one that was left in the prison, Shorty. He didn't want to lose his Benjamin. But he had to be tried. And he came to that place where he had to leave everything in the Lord's hands. Everything. Because it was life and death. They were starving. There was a famine. They needed food. It was in Egypt. If he didn't comply with the ruler of Egypt, which was Joseph, though they didn't know it, if they didn't comply with his suggestions, with his demands, then there would be no food. He came to that place where he had to give in. So did Queen Esther. Her life was threatened along with all the Jews. And she came to that place where, which was not recognized. One was not allowed to go in unto the king, just as they wanted to, but she took it in her hands. She must go. She must see the king. It's a question of life and death. If the king holds out the golden scepter, all will be well. He will hear her. She will live. So she came to that point where she said she would go in unto the king, and if I perish, I perish. And she went in, and the king held out the golden scepter. She lived. She was delivered. The evil man, Haman, that was going to put Mordecai on the gallows and hang him, instead of Mordecai being hanged, Haman was hanged. You see, friends, all these things are against me. Were they? It looked as if the Jews would die. But you see how the Lord can reverse these things. Reverse them. He can bring good out of seemingly evil. Those that have power and condemn can find themselves condemned. I believe the child of God has to watch very carefully, very closely, when they are brought into these various trials and troubles. They're very dark paths, but behind it all, the Lord is working. The Lord is working. Oh, friends, it's a wonderful thing when we can see those, little. You know what I mean when I say a little evidence, just a little evidence. Yet it is a great thing if it's the Lord's doings. It's a great thing. But he will work, and who shall let him? Ah, friends, I believe his children prove this over and over again. They're brought into impossible circumstances and places where there is none to help. And they fall down. They fall before their God. Lord, help, or I perish. Save, or I perish. Oh, friends, don't be surprised if you come into pathways where the most distressing things take place sometimes. When it seems so utterly impossible that things can ever be put right again. I believe the Lord has a purpose in these things. He knows what he will do. He knows what he's going to do in your pathway and mine. And there may well be those of you here that are in a pathway. You can't see the end. You look with much apprehension forward, wonder what's going to happen, what it all means, what will come out of it. You may find, and you will doubt, I don't doubt you will find many discouragements, many that will point the finger, many that will condemn. But oh, friends, if the Lord is in it, it'll work together for good. Oh, the Lord knows all about your pathway and mine. And what a mercy it is. What a mercy it is. There are times when our pathway seems to get so complicated and in such a tangle, we don't know ourselves of which way to turn, or how the matter will turn, or which way to go. But our eyes are up upon him. The Lord knows what he will do. Oh, friends, I often think about that word. The Lord knows what he will do. He knows what he will do with your tangle, your trouble, your problem. He knows how he will supply our needs. Yes, he does. They're all in his hands. All these things are against me. Are you seeking the Lord regarding eternity, regarding your sins? Are you a seeker, seeking for mercy? Has the Lord touched your heart? Has he brought you to confession so that you've had to confess your sins before God and acknowledge some of the things that you've been guilty of, and perhaps you've forgotten all about some of them? They come back. What a mercy, they do come back, friends. Or you say, why? I don't like remembering sins. Friends, if they didn't come back, and we were never felt our guilt of them, there would be no cry for mercy for them. Where would we be? Without repentance, there's no remission. And so, friends, we are reminded, they're brought back to our notice. But when we walk in these paths, sometimes we feel that all these things are against us, that we're wrong, our religion isn't right. We read or hear of the Lord's people and how the Lord blesses them, how he goes before them. We look at them in their pathways outwardly and we think, well, what a different pathway to mine. How they seem to prosper. How they seem to be happy and contented. How everything seems to go right for them. But everything seems to be crossed in my pathway. Oh, friends, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes or in the heart. The thing is, friends, that we are individuals before our God. We have a pathway to walk in, and it doesn't matter about the Joneses, what they are going in or what they are suffering. It's, what is that to thee, the Lord says? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. Ah, the flesh says, but all these things are against me. They're all against me. I don't prosper. There's no blessing. There's no comfort. The Lord hides his face. Does the word mock you? The word of God, does it mock you? All the word of God sometimes mocks. That is, Satan will use it. Seekers shall be finders. You say, I seek the Lord, I read his word, I pray unto him, and there is nothing. Ah, friend. All these things are against me. Are you going to give up then? Are you going to turn your back upon God? Going to turn your back upon religion and the denomination because you don't get what you want when you want it? There's many that do. But a true child of God, friends, cannot give up. It has to come back again and again, suing for mercy. It knows it's not worthy of his notice. He knows that he is condemned before a holy God. But he is seeking for mercy. He has to come again and again to his God. Lord, have mercy upon me. Remember me. Remember me with the favour thou bearest unto thy people. I'm sure some of you young ones must have pleaded that before your God. I'm sure there must be times when there's a desire put in your heart that the Lord, that you might know the Lord, and that the Lord would bless you in your souls. Oh, it's a great mercy, friends, to have a desire. Because I don't believe it's of the flesh. The flesh wants none of these things. The flesh says, I will not have this man to reign over me. I want to go my own way. I don't want any burdens. I don't want any ties. I want to be free. I want to be like the world. That I can go where I like and when I like with no cares. That's the flesh. What a mercy, friends, that the Lord doesn't leave his children in that condition. He calls them by grace. He renews their heart. He renews their will. So that they're brought with a desire and an exercise. How do you come into the house of God? Do you ever have the language of the word of God? Sirs, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. I want to see him. I want to hear his voice. I want him to come where I am. I want to know him for myself. We read of him in the word of God. We hear of him. But we want to know him. Ah, friends, if the Lord puts it in your heart and mind, a desire to know him, it's a great blessing, a great mercy. But I say, don't be surprised, even when you're seeking after these things, if your pathway is rough and rugged, many things which seem to be going wrong, all these things are against me. But they're the very things often in the Lord's hands to draw us, to make us sick of self. Sick of self. These things, friends, are personal. They are personal. We each have a pathway to walk in, and every one of our pathways will be different. But they'll all lead to the same way, the same pathway. Those of us that are called by grace, they'll lead us to the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the pathway will be a pathway that will wean us from this world and from self. But I say, Jacob, he had the old man of sin. Jacob was a deceiver. And I said this morning, and I say it again this afternoon, you often find that things follow on in families. A parent will often find the sin that they committed is done by their son or daughters. And so it was, friends. Jacob was a deceiver. He deceived his old father. He had Esau's blessing. And later on in his life, what did he find? His own sons deceived him. They took away Joseph and sold him. And took his coat, dipped it in blood, and returned it to Jacob. They deceived him. Oh, how solemn these things are, friends. But they're here. They're recorded in the Word of God. And they are to be a voice to the people of God. May they be a voice to you and I. Jacob said, all these things are against me. But they were not. And he had to prove it in due time that all things did work together for good for him. And I believe you and I will prove the same. You may be at this time in the very same rut that Jacob was, saying and believing, all these things are against me. They're crooked things. But friend, I believe one day they'll be straightened. The Lord will appear. They're not all against you. They're for your good. They're for our teaching. Oh, may we then be given that grace and faith that we might be enabled to endure unto the end. Amen.
Thank you.
forgive what thou hast seen amiss. Oh, that thou wouldst go before us each and make all things work together for our good. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each, now and forevermore.